Full theology of that song is a little different than you expect, isn't it? Who brings the waves that draw us nigh? That we would stand on the rock of Christ. You know what we usually pray? Oh God, take away the waves. Take everything out of my life that is a difficulty, a little bit of struggle. I don't even want the water to rise, any kind of, tide at all, but that song says God brings the waves so that he will draw us to himself. Christ alone in life and death. This is our hope. And as we come again to God's words, I have great confidence that God will speak to us. Not my words, but that once again we anticipate as we start a new year that God's word is a living and active word that will do its work in us to produce the people of God. Before I do that, though, I want to say, first of all, that I'm so thankful to God for all of you as our church family. We are so blessed as pastors and as staff of this church in all the ways that you express your love to us and the ways that we have truly felt loved by you. Through all your Christmas cards, let me just fix this, gift baskets, all the thoughtful notes, and then there's all the chocolate. Then there's homemade toffee and home baking. There was even a Saskatoon berry pie. I think being a pastor of this church, we are pretty spoiled. Now I have to do some serious crunches in the new year just to get back to normal. But we feel loved by you. On your behalf, the board gave all the staff, every staff member, a $100 gift Christmas bonus. And I just want to say thank you. That we do feel loved and appreciated. That we feel cared for. One of the other ways that the church has done this is beginning in January, the church is restoring all of the pastoral salaries back to our pre-COVID salary as we together walked through these last few years. And I know that this is a step of faith. That this is an act of trusting the Lord. And I am just so thankful to God that we can trust him. We finished this year with around $40,000 surplus exceeding our budget for 2021. And how that happened is purely by the generosity of God's people and God's care for his church. I think God wants us to still be in business in 2022. God is good and we are trusting him. And we are grateful. I think Leona and I especially have been touched and encouraged by your many kind words. There were many Christmas cards we received and notes and letters that were not just, hey, Merry Christmas, but actually thoughtfully crafted, kind words that were spoken to us. We really feel loved. And then there was the great encouragement of our testimony service last Sunday. If you were here to see and to hear what God is doing in our lives, this is why I want to serve this church and be a pastor that honors the Lord so that God's name will be glorified. And I think this is what happened. So I want to encourage you and I want to thank you for what God is doing amongst us. Today is the very first Sunday of 2022, kind of obvious, but let me say something else that is obvious. 2021 is gone. Finito. Finished. Never to return. We can't get those days back. How will we live in 2022? How will we step by faith into the future? Well, let me say to you, I want to start with prayer. I think not just any prayer, but this specific prayer. If you don't have your Bibles open yet, let me invite you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The prayer and this focus on prayer begins in verse 13 all the way till chapter 3, verse 5. And even though this is a communion Sunday, And we usually return to the Gospel of John every time we share communion, which is a great encouragement because we see every single time we share communion, we are again in the Gospels. And our view is filled with Jesus. But as we begin this year, we will return to that at the beginning of February. But this Sunday, I want us to begin this year with this focus on prayer. Not just any prayer, but with these verses. And they're a real encouragement to me that God uses His Word to establish His people. So before we even look at it, I want to pray that God would speak to us again and that your heart and my heart would be transformed by the very words of God. We believe that when God's word is faithfully taught, that God's voice is heard. So let's pray that God will speak. Will you join me in prayer? Kind Father, we look to you again here at the beginning of 2022, and we humbly ask, Lord, would you establish our hearts in your word for every good work, not just to know the truth, but to live and to walk in the truth. You are faithful, and you will establish your people. You will guard us from evil as we put our confidence in you. Oh, Lord, direct our hearts in your love and the steadfastness of Christ to set the direction of our hearts by your Spirit through your word, like these verses will teach us. Establish our hearts and then direct our hearts. You are the Lord, and we are your servants. This is our posture as we come to you. We come again with humble hearts, and we simply pray. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 to 35. It says 1 Thessalonians, but believe me, it's 2 Thessalonians. You can follow along as we hear God's word, beginning in verse 13. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this, He called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one, and we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct our hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. There are three parts to this passage in its emphasis on prayer. The very first one is thanksgiving to God. You can see it in verse 13. We ought always to give thanks to God for you. And then he explains, why is he giving thanks to God? And even though verse 13 to 15 in this first section, it's It's a call to be thankful in the church. This is where we want to start in 2022. He doesn't directly pray until he gets to verse 16, but in the first section of verse 13 to 15, it's a challenge to pray and be thankful. And then what he does is he gives us all the reasons. Why should we be thankful? Because of everything that God has done in the lives of the brethren. So we don't just make up our own lists of what are we thankful for. We say, Lord, would you open our eyes to see what you've done, and especially in these verses in 2022. So first of all, there's three sections, three parts. The first is this challenge, this call to give thanks to God. The second one is a prayer for God's ongoing work in the hearts of his people. We don't somehow just say, well, yeah, God is doing this work in us, so now we can just rest and relax. Thank God for salvation, and now we're just riding the easy street to heaven. No, there's in the middle of this incredible passage about all that God has done, there is this prayer. Look at verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, and he goes on to give us the prayer at the very end, establish them. And then he does the same thing again in verse 5 of chapter 3. May the Lord direct our hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ. So the second part of this section is to pray that God will work in the lives of the church, of the brothers and sisters of one another. So it's first of all thanking God for what he's done, this amazing work that only God can do. Secondly, to pray that God would continue this ongoing work in our hearts. Would you do that in 2022? Are you already planning on just coasting through the year? Are you ready to say, Lord, I want you to do a greater work in my life? I want to invite you to pray that with me. That God's ongoing work in the hearts of his people, in us, would continue to grow. And then he prays the third prayer he gives us in chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead or advance and be honored as happened among you. Here's this prayer for the advance of the gospel. And you can see how this is a great prayer for us as a church, can't you? What an incredible thing for us in 2022 that if we will take a hold of this prayer, if we will let this set the pace and the direction for us, it is God's will for us. In 1 John, it says you have what you ask for if you ask according to God's will. This is God's will for us, that we ought to do this, that our hearts would be so filled with gratefulness and thanks for what God has done for us, not what we have done for God. It's not that God is so lucky that as Christians we are serving him and we're doing all the... No, we recognize what God has done. And it produces thanksgiving in us. And then secondly, God, would you keep working in us? Would you continue this ongoing work in us? Would you build your church? And then thirdly, God, would your work be continued ongoing in our world through us and our witness? We're going to spend the next 2 weeks looking at these verses, but I want to begin with thanksgiving. In verse 13 to 15, the focus is, not surprisingly, on the object of our thanksgiving, the one to whom we give thanks. It's just so obvious that you might even miss it in verse 13, but we ought always to give thanks to God. Why? Because it's all dependent on him. It's because of what God is doing and the work God is doing in the lives of the brothers and the sisters in the church. We ought to always give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by God. And then he gives this long description of what God has done in the lives of these believers. And let me say this to you. When we truly see what God has done, and we truly understand what God has done, we will truly bow in genuine worship. In fact, it is so strong and so clear in this passage that when we truly see that it is God who has done all these very things, it is our duty We don't like that in the scripture when it tells us what we ought to do. But the passage directly says we ought always to do this. And to thank God because it's what God is doing. In fact, I think this is the place of a truly grateful heart. You can do your best to have a good attitude. Hey, this year, in 2020, to you, I'm going to have a better attitude than I did last year. I was Mr. Cranky Pants. I was grumpy at everybody. In traffic, I was just horrible. This year, I'm going to have a better attitude. No, the place of true thankfulness. The place where God is going to set the pace in our lives for 2022 is to see what God is doing in our lives as brothers and sisters in the church. That's how Paul clearly reveals him, to thank God for you, brothers. And then he says, what is God doing? If you were here on Boxing Day last Sunday, you heard the same message. It wasn't framed by the scripture. It was simply framed in the hearts of thankful people. People who could look back over this last year and say, you know, we've been through quite a bit, but I've seen God's hand. I'm thankful for what God is doing, how God is working in my life. And I say the same. I'm thankful for what God is doing in your life because I can see what God is doing. And this passage helps us understand. I think we need to ask the question, what is God doing? Well, our verses in verse 13 to 15 give us, in the big picture of God's work, four ways that God is working in his people. Do you see it in verse 13? The first one is that they are loved by God. Secondly, they are chosen by God in verse 13. Thirdly, in verse 14, they are called by God. And then at the end of the verse, he gives us the reason, the purpose, so that you may obtain the glory. And it's this future sense of being glorified by God. Do you hear it? Loved by God, chosen by God, called by God, and glorified by God. It is not of works, lest anyone can boast. This is the powerful purpose of praise and thanksgiving, to see what God is doing in the lives of your brothers and sisters. Let me say this to you. If we truly understand that we are loved by God, if we truly look around this room and look at our brothers and sisters that just get under our skin or whatever it is, and we say, God loves them. This is what Paul says. Brothers, you're beloved of God. If we truly see this, though it is hard for us to grasp, it will transform us as a church. To see God's love, and he describes how he can see it. Look at the next part in verse 13. Because God chose you. They were loved by God because God actually chose them. And he didn't just choose them to be loved. No, it was his love that chose them. The verse tells us, what did he choose for them? To be saved. And it's very clear that he's going to go on to explain that not all have faith. In chapter 3, verse 2, not all have faith. But God chose those who he loved. God chose them in a particular love to be saved. There's no way around it in these verses. This is the kindness of God's love expressed in salvation. Now, we're going to be studying through the book of Ephesians this winter. Do you see how the verse goes on? How did he choose us? That little phrase, as the first fruits, if you follow it down, you might have a subscript, a little number or a letter. You can follow it down to your margins. It says, from the beginning, the first fruits, the very first thing, from the very beginning, much like Ephesians says, God chose us to be saved from the very beginning. How? Then he gives us the answer. How did God choose us? Through the sanctifying work, sanctification by the Spirit, and believing in the truth. There is this work of the Spirit in our lives before we even believe the truth. But they're inseparable. It's not just by the Spirit, and it's not just by truth. It's these two ideas coming together in the Gospels. Jesus says it is the Spirit of truth that he will send. And in Ephesians, when we go through it this winter, we will see the very work of God in our lives. Though we are dead, the Spirit makes us alive so that we can believe. It is not possible to believe in God without the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Just turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You maybe feel like that is just too strong a statement, Norm. No, it isn't. The Bible tells us this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. Verse 10 of that same chapter. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows the person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. This takes us to Thessalonians. Chosen by God to be saved. How? Through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian and you believe the gospel, it is only by the Holy Spirit that you've come, that your eyes are opened, that you can believe. Otherwise, you are the natural man in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. He does not, he cannot, he will not. This is the loving kindness of God. It is the truth, to believe in the truth, the work of the Spirit that you would understand and know and then believe the truth. That's why you can't separate Spirit and truth in verse 13. And then he calls us. So we are loved by God and chosen by God and then called by God. And how does he call us? Look at verse 14. Through our gospel. Paul says he called you through our gospel. It is through the preaching of the truth. And the Spirit takes that truth and embeds it into the soul of those he's chosen and loved. And it goes deep into the soil. And it begins to rise in growth to produce the fruit of salvation. We are called by God when we hear the truth of God proclaimed. And then it ends in verse 14. So that we can obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a future sense. It is one day that we will obtain it. We can be saved already as Christians who have put our full trust in Christ. But there is this future sense to this verse. So that you may obtain, that you would be glorified in the ends. That when Christ appears in all his glory, we will see him. And we will be in Christ and we will be glorified. And it's the work of God, it's not our work. It is a process, loved by God, chosen by God. And people say, how is that loving? And I said this a few weeks ago. The only way I can understand it is a loving act of God is when all the people in the world are lined up and God goes and he picks and he adopts you to his family. It is out of love. And people say, oh no, you're just a robot. No, it's not a random selection. It is a loving choice. And when we truly understand it, you, with your name on it, a gospel that comes to you, loved by God, the Holy Spirit opens your minds to know and believe, it will transform you. And you will do this very thing that we ought to do in verse 13. To stop, to drop, and to worship, and to thank God for everything He has done. We can see God's motivating love behind it all. A loving choice, a loving call through the gospel. Opening our hearts to believe. We can see it in Ephesians 2, and we will see it, but I invite you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians 2, verse 4. Just so you see it in the context of this sermon. In Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith. It is not possible to have faith unless you understand grace. And if you are putting your faith in your own faith alone without understanding grace, it is not a saving faith. It is a self-produced religion and a faith in yourself and your own choice and free will and whatever words you call it. No, this is the work of God from start to finish, and we respond to His work. It's this process of God's work. There is a general love of God, for God so loved the world in a general way, but there is a particular love of God here by His rich mercy, but God being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive. The love of God is expressed to those who are dead, and that love is a love that makes you alive. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we ought always give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved of God, because He chose you as the first fruits from the beginning to be saved. It is a saving love. It's the exact same thing as Romans 8 in verse 30. Those He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. Who is the He in the passage? It is God. It is all of God. The whole process is the kind work of God. And when we see this, and when we understand it in 2 Thessalonians 13, we will be thankful. Our hearts will be so filled with the humble recognition that it's undeserved. It's not by our own effort. It's all a gift of grace that we receive, yes, to be sure. And we declare Jesus is Lord only because the Spirit has awoken our soul and given us the truth, called us by the gospel. God lovingly chooses us to believe. When we minimize God's work in us, we actually take the credit for our own salvation. And you will answer to God for that. We begin to think that it's up to me to decide. And when we do this, we fail to be thankful for God's work. If you and I believe the Word of God, then we will humbly accept the fact that this is God's loving, choosing, calling, and glorifying work in us. And we will be thankful. Some people might say, I don't believe God chose me. Well, what do you do with this verse? God loved us, chose us, called us, and established us, and is bringing us to glory. It's His work in us. In Philippians 1, verse 6, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. When? Until the day of Christ Jesus. He's still working in you. If you're struggling with these ideas, then this morning I want to encourage you to enter in with a humble heart. Would you consider with me over these next few months? We're going to have a few sermons before we start Ephesians. But this winter, would you consider with me in the book of Ephesians that we would seek to understand by the Holy Spirit? I can't convince you. God will by His Spirit. But would you have a humble heart to hear God's word? To simply say, okay, Lord, if this is true, help me understand what this means that God chose me. Because your only other option is to just take a pair of scissors and cut it out of your Bible every time it appears. No, God, instead, God, I come with a humble heart. Would you teach me? You called me. Would you, along with me, start with prayer? Would you start with this prayer in particular? Would you this very afternoon simply stop and say, God, thank you that you actually loved me first? That you did this work of choosing me to be saved, it says in verse 13. And then you called me by the gospel, the truth, the Spirit awoken in me this understanding to believe, the gift of faith. And that where I struggle, I trust that you will yet one day keep me and I will be glorified with Christ when He returns. The purpose of the Spirit's work in us is to accomplish all that God sets out to do in every individual heart. My dear friends, you can stand on this foundation. If it's up to you, you are hopelessly lost, and so am I. You're grasping in the dark, trying to find the light. Remember Isaiah, the prophet? How many times have you fallen into doubt? The sin of selfishness? Or even worse than all the seven deadly sins and all those bad things that we just don't want anybody to know, even worse than all of that, the sin of trusting in yourself. The sin of thinking that somehow our good works are going to save us. The pride of our Christian effort when one day we will stand before the holy God of the universe. But we can stand on this foundation. It's not what we have done. It's what God has done. That's verse 15. Do you see it? So then, brothers, on account of all these things that God has done, stand firm and hold to the traditions that we have taught you with our spoken word, with their preaching, and with their letters. You can stand on this foundation. It doesn't depend on you. We are simply receiving the grace of God. On this truth we stand. And it's the gospel. That's verse 14. He called you through our gospel. It is the Spirit of truth. Verse 13, to believe the sanctifying work of the Spirit. It is all about God's word. It's about the truth and about the gospel. And the Apostle Paul understood that the message they were preaching, when he says spoken word or our letter, he understood that it was God's word they were giving to his people. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Some of you were with us when we were in 1 Corinthians, just over a few pages. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, see, it's not their word. It's the word of God which you heard from us. You accepted it not as the words of men, but as what it really is, the word of God which is at work in you who believe. That's exactly what Paul is saying here in 1 Thessalonians. The spoken word in our letter. We know that because look down at chapter 3, verse 1. Brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as it happened to you. The word that we spoke to you is the word of the Lord. And what Paul is saying, as he understands it, is that it is the gospel message of Christ alone that bears this fruit in the lives of those who believe by the work of the Holy Spirit. To believe the truth, in verse 13, the gospel in verse 14, their preaching in their letters in verse 15, and that the word of God would be effective in chapter 3, verse 1. And then he says it again in chapter 3, verse 4, and we have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing and will do the things we commanded. Is it just the Apostle Paul's command? No, he says the things that we are directing you. We're directing you on how to live. And then look at verse 5, may the Lord direct your hearts. Because it is the Lord who is directing them through the word of God that is being spoken by the apostles. We see this in the book of Titus. You can just listen in chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Christ Jesus, for the sake of the faith of the elect and their knowledge of the truth with accords to godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word, God's word, through the preaching with which we've been entrusted by the command of our God and Savior. And then in verse 9, that he, describing the elder, must hold fast the faithful word as taught. They understood it was God's word that was doing this work in them. And we can stand on this truth in verse 15. And what is the truth? That you are beloved by God. And that for those others that are Christians in our fellowship, that I know that you are beloved by God. Because, verse 13 says, God chose you to be saved. I know it. And it will transform our church as we believe it and walk in this truth. And it's really important we understand that the calling of God comes from the gospel. In verse 14. Because guess what we're going to pray for? We're going to pray next Sunday and over the rest of this year that the word of the Lord in chapter 3, verse 1 may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, right? It is the gospel that God called others to faith. What will happen through First Baptist Church when we believe it and we stand firm on it? And we don't just say, well, God, thank you. I'm the elect. I'm good. I'm on my way to heaven. No, that's not this prayer. That's where it starts. But then we pray for the ongoing work of God in our lives, which we'll see next Sunday. And then we pray for the advance of the gospel through God's word. So we are starting 2022 with this prayer. Will you pray with me? Father, we are not interested in the words of men. In fact, I can honestly say I'm not interested in my own opinions. I'm not interested in my thoughts and my schemes and plans. I bend my will to your truth. I lift up your word above my head. And I say, Lord, speak, I believe. Push out the darkness of my mind and the pride that gives too much credit to myself. And transform me and us to be thankful people as we ought, because we are loved by you, we are chosen by you, we are called by you, and we stand firm on your continued work that will bring us to glory. And now, Lord, as we turn to communion, we worship you with thankful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.